Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to The World in Sport. I'm Tali Anderson. This week...
Yeah, we've already started preparing and hopefully we can put up a good show while we out chat.
Fiji braces for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Strict eligibility rules are discouraging New Zealand's Pacifica netball players from representing their heritage. And half a dozen competing bids have signalled their interest in becoming the first Pacific Super Rugby franchise. But first, Fiji is bracing for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity after being confirmed as one of eight teams taking part in the Nations Cup rugby competition in November. The Flying Fijians will take on France, Italy and Scotland in Group A, with England, Ireland, Wales and Georgia to contest Group B. The final round will be a series of crossover matches against the team with the equivalent placing in the opposite pool. Fiji have not played four consecutive tests against Tier 1 countries in the professional era, and CEO John O'Connor told Vinnie Wiley their participation will be an historic milestone.
Yeah, we've already started preparing and hopefully we can put up a good show while we out chat.
Obviously, outside of a Rugby World Cup, it's pretty rare to get three or four Tier 1 test matches in consecutive weekends. So, I mean, that in itself is a huge boost for a team like Fiji.
It'll be a challenge for the boys, but, you know, we've been crying over more test matches against Tier 1 for so long. This is an opportunity for us, you know, to put our hands up and to show that we can be competitive. I know it's a big challenge for our coaching panel, and likewise, all our players will be selected to participate in the tournament.
Was it a case of the Six Nations inviting Fiji to be a part of it, or did you guys put your hand up, or how did that work?
Yeah, we were invited initially, and we've been in discussions with Six Nations for some time. Historical moment for rugby in Fiji and for Fiji rugby. And I think it's also a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Eh?
And so how will it work? Because, I mean, obviously, Vern Cotter will name his first squad to take part in this tournament, but do you know if all of your players are available or just because of quarantine situations, how that's going to work in terms of getting the team together and getting them prepared?
Yeah, we've been working with our players. We have two of our coaching panel who are based in Europe. They've been working with Vern in monitoring the players. Most of our players are based in Europe, and Vern's been watching all our local domestic competitions. He has been impressed with some local players, and we are now moving forward with making arrangements for them to be able to travel to the Northern Hemisphere. I think the advantage we have is because we COVID-contained that at the moment, as it is, we are not required to quarantine when we arrive, but we know we have to quarantine when we return back to Fiji and likewise to New Zealand. A lot of planning has gone into our preparation. But we never know what COVID-19 will bring.
So before the tournament starts, the squad's hoping to come together at the end of October. So before the competition starts, you anticipate that all the players would be able to go directly into camp and start training. And then, as you say, the players based in the Southern Hemisphere would probably have to quarantine, but just at the end.
In terms of preliminary planning, we're planning to assemble on the 24th of October, prepare. We're currently in negotiation for a possible warm-up match before we dive into our first match against France, which is on the 18th, I think.
Would the warm-up match be a test match or just against sort of like a Barbarians or a local club side or something?
Yeah, we're considering options at the moment. And things will become clearer in the next few days or next few weeks. Eh?
You know, there's always talk about Tier 2 nations when you go over for these November tours. Traditionally, you don't get any of the gate takings. Will Fiji get any financial benefit out of being a part of this Autumn Nations Championship?
Yeah, we've negotiated a participation fee, and I think the difficulty in negotiation at this time, because we do not know whether The matches will be played with crowds or without any crowds, but we are thankful to the Six Nations for their support in this team. They will be covering all our costs for the tournament, and they've been very positive in terms of negotiating participation fee. They are keeping in mind that there are a lot of uncertainties, yes, but we are quite happy with where we are in terms of the negotiation.
Fiji Rugby CEO John O'Connor. Northern Mystics midquarter Fa'amu Ioane says strict eligibility rules are discouraging Pasifika netball players in New Zealand from representing their heritage. ANZ Premiership teams are restricted to one international import in their squads, with Pacific internationals forced to compete alongside high-profile names from Africa, the UK and the Caribbean. At international level, players with dual eligibility cannot represent a different nation at consecutive World Cups. Ioane was born in Samoa but moved to New Zealand 16 years ago and was part of New Zealand's under-21 squad that went on to claim the World Youth Cup in 2017. The 24-year-old admits wearing the black dress is the goal, but says Pasifika players would jump at the opportunity to represent their culture if there weren't so many barriers.
The most thing that kind of hinders the Pacific Islander players is that when we do not make the squad, like for instance at the moment we don't make that squad, but then we would love to go play for our country now, but then there's a restriction because if we play for them, we had to stand down for 4 years, and which will also put a restriction on us playing in the ANZ comp. If we do come back and play in ANZ comp, we'll be down as an import player. Let's say if I go play for Samoa, I'll be stood down for 4 years to make the Ferns. And I'll become a import player for ANZ, even though I am a New Zealand citizen. And I think that's a lot of more, that adds on to another restriction for why most of us Pacific Islander players don't go back and play for our country unless, we're retired or we're finished with the game.
Have you ever considered playing for or representing Samoa?
Oh, most definitely. I would love to just... If there was no restriction, then you're able to go play for your country and come back and, still have the opportunity to play for the Ferns and, try for New Zealand. I will most definitely go and play and represent my country. And it's still good because then, if you represent Samoa, you're still up against, the Ferns, and which will still give you the opportunity to be seen as well. Me and some of the players were talking about, oh, man, it'll be so cool to go back and play for our, represent our country, and our end goal is still to play for Ferns and representing them, but it'll be good if they actually allow the players to go back and play for their country, because then the competition, there'll be a lot more it'll be a lot more interesting to watch, because you have the Islanders who've gone, the PI's gone back playing for their country, which will lift the competition.
The end goal, has it always been representing New Zealand or playing for the Silver Ferns?
Yeah, so for me, I don't quite understand, in high school, I was just I enjoy playing my sport, because I didn't only play netball in high school. It wasn't when I got selected in the tournament team in 2011 and going through the process, it was you're going to get a chance to try out for New Zealand Secondary School. At that time, I didn't even know what New Zealand Secondary School was. I didn't know that there was a 21. All I knew, there was a Fern, but I didn't know anything the steps to get to Ferns. And I think I just made up my mind and going into trials for New Zealand Secondary School that eventually I do want to represent New Zealand. That's my end goal.
Northern Mystics midquarter Fa'amu Ioane. Half a dozen competing bids have signalled their interest in becoming the first Pacific Super Rugby franchise. New Zealand Rugby wants to add a Pacifica team to the competition from 2021 and is considering expressions of interest. Kanaloa Hawaii and the Asia Pacific Dragons previously voiced their desire to join the Super Rugby competition, while Moana Pacifica is the latest group to go public. Pacific Rugby Players CEO Aidan Clark told Vinnie Wiley they have consulted with half a dozen prospective groups.
From our perspective, we just want a quality organisation to grab this opportunity. There's never been an appetite from the competition owners, and at the moment it looks like that would be New Zealand, to have a Pacific Island Super Rugby team involved. So we've said right from the start that we just want there to be meaningful outcomes and involvement from the three nations, Fiji, Tonga and Samoa, and whomever that may be that really leads out this franchise, and making sure that the benefits of this team in terms of performance pathway really flow back into the islands.
So, you know, there are six interested bids, but it's fair to say not all of them would want to kickstart as soon as next year, which I guess is only, you know, 3, 4, 5 months away.
Yeah, exactly. Realistically, you know, given the current environment across the world, the travel restrictions, we may be looking at another New Zealand option for next year in Super Rugby. That's a really short runway to be able to pull together a high-performing squad, build the roster of players, contracting, all of that. So I know, as you've outlined, that some of the organisations don't believe that is possible and more inclined to really put their work into trying to be a serious option for a longer term. But there are some others who are New Zealand-based who think they can pull that together. So, yeah, look, you know, even this morning and across the weekend, working with all of them to see how we can try and make that happen.
Are any of the bids that you're aware of not wanting to base themselves in New Zealand?
I know that Fiji, quite rightly, have a strong desire that if you're based out of Fiji, maybe not for next year, but they're looking at options of how they could adapt that. But long term, they genuinely do feel that there should be a team based there. And to be honest, I think that would be fantastic to have genuine involvement for the Three Nations, to provide variety, not only for the fans, but also for the players. We could have an option here where there's no more travelling to South Africa and having a trip once a year across the Pacific Islands, different community, really passionate fans. I think it'll be great for the game. And hopefully that's a long-term option.
Do you think it's possible if we have these two separate competitions in New Zealand and Australia? I know there's talk about, you know, they play their comps and then they might have sort of a final series combined later on. But is it possible with two separate comps, as we've seen this year, that there could be separate Pacifica teams in each comp?
Yes. I think across the bids and the people that are showing interest, there's some really great ideas and strengths and weaknesses of all of them. So I think it would be possible. There are two very separate markets, New Zealand and Australia, and possibly commercially Australia could be a little bit stronger than here in New Zealand. But, you know, there's pros and cons for different models, and I guess it's up to the franchise owners and the people that are leading them around to come about those decisions. Hopefully we will see just quality involvement of the Three Nations and making sure that such a team, a professional team, slots in nicely with the aspirations of Manu Samoa, Flying Fijians and Akalitahi.
So some of those bids have considered or are keen on, say, basing themselves, for example, in Sydney or Brisbane or, you know, similar to the Auckland theory?
Yes. So you talked about the Asia-Pacific Dragons there. They have a reach across not only the Pacific but Asia. I know that they're exploring and aren't bedded to any options in terms of being based in. And I guess not just them, but also Moana Pacifica, Kanaloa, Fiji. There's been a tremendous amount of listening as well to all the different stakeholders and I guess everybody trying to come up with the winning formula.
And, you know, in terms of the squads that we've seen built for the Latui, for the Endrua, for Kangifa Samoa, for example, you know, often there's a lot of New Zealand and Australian-based Pacifica players in those teams and they've been sort of turned around or created in a short space of time, the squads. So does, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, untapped Pacifica players in New Zealand, etc., that could help make up this super team. Do you feel like that depth is there, that a team could be competitive at in a short space of time?
Yes, I do. It's going to take a fair bit of crafting and a few bits and pieces to come together, but there's definitely enough talent. You know, currently in New Zealand, you're near 50% of all contracted players are Pacific Islanders anyway. In Australia, it's higher than that. So, and you know, I haven't really done the stats looking at the new squads for Mitre 10 Cup, but I have expectation that there's probably very, very high as well. So there's plenty of talent around Vinny. I guess it's about finding the right times. A lot of them are already contracted. Some are coming off contracts. You've got players around the world who are not sure if they're going to have an opportunity somewhere in the UK or Europe in 2021 who will be looking at this. So it's a very interesting time, not only for players, but for agents, ourselves, and for all these organisations trying to put together a competitive squad. And it needs to be competitive. It's absolutely critical that this team comes in to any competition and does well and gets the public behind them and is competitive on the field, but also in the commercial market. So, look, we're all it's all hands on deck, just trying to make sure that whomever it is has the really best opportunity to pull it all off.
And so if you've been liaising or in contact with all of these prospective bids and NZR, when do you have a feeling for when a decision is going to be made, or when we can get a little bit more, you know, concrete information on a preferred bid and a timeline?
Yeah, and speaking with Nigel Kirst at NZR, I think they're hoping to try and give everybody some clarity by the end of this month, end of September. So I'm sure that's for next year anyway. And we need that. We need to be able to make sure that everyone can get on with it and start planning if it's going to be such a short runway in. So yeah, by the end of the month, I think we'll know at least what the competition may look like and who's involved for 2021. And then I think possibly for whatever competition may go beyond that, you could be looking at early next year.
Pacific Rugby Players CEO Aidan Clark. And that's the world in sport for this week. For more, head to our website, rnzi.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.